Broadcasting live from the Business Radio X studios in Atlanta, Georgia, it's time for Disruptive Business, celebrating those who change the game.
All right, Lee Cantor here with Micah Porter for another edition of Disruptive Business, where cutting-edge organizations and the innovative leaders who guide them are spotlighted. Today's show, as always, is brought to you by Minerva Planning Group. Welcome, Micah. You missed last week. You missed quite a show.
I was disappointed to miss it. I was actually out in San Jose. So
doing important disruptive things?
Trying to disrupt out there, yes.
Well, I'm glad to have you today, and I'm excited to introduce our guest, Susan Nicholas. She's a MD and an MBA, and she is the CEO of QNova Health, Inc. Welcome, Susan.
Thank you.
Why don't you share a little bit about what QNova Health is about and what you're doing to disrupt the marketplace?
Absolutely. So QNova Health is a e-commerce-based healthcare company. At least we have an e-commerce platform for purchasing and selling outpatient care services. Now, that sounds pretty simple, but it has a major impact on the U.S. healthcare system. What this does is it opens the U.S. healthcare system to everyone, absolutely everyone that can register with us with a valid email address. There are no other prerequisites to participate with the QNova Health platform. We have two customers. One are our healthcare providers that serve in the outpatient care space. We have healthcare providers for more than 40 practice areas in outpatient medicine, from anything as minor as a chiropractic adjustment to a same-day surgery procedure, for instance, to get your gallbladder removed or a breast lump removed.
So how, can you walk us through how this would work? Is it for children, adults, it's for everybody?
It's for everybody. Now, of course, you do have to be 18 years old to register, but an adult can register on behalf of a minor child or an elderly parent, for instance, that might not, you know, have the computer savviness to do so. So
right.
Anyone can participate, truly.
So the types of services that I might sign up for really run the gamut, it sounds like. You mentioned same-day surgery. I could literally sign up on the website for a same-day surgery.
I do, and I like to highlight, you know, that the importance of this, because if I can use an example, a real-life example, if I'm a woman that's currently uninsured or underinsured and I have a primary or early-stage breast cancer, using the QNova Health platform and still being uninsured, I can get my outpatient lumpectomy, my outpatient chemotherapy and radiation, which are all standard therapies today for breast cancer. That is true for getting a tooth removed, getting braces, getting dentures, having a crown placed, you know, having a hemodialysis appointment. These are truly needed services that are critical for chronic disease management and the health and well-being of the American public.
And I could literally go onto that site and see what that would cost me.
You could. So the way that our platform works, it's very similar to some of the social kind of e-commerce that we've seen. We really try to bring what works in the retail space to the healthcare space and allow people to consume healthcare as they would any other item in their daily life. Healthcare is very important, and so people, you know, if they have the autonomy to choose which car they're going to buy or home or pair of shoes, then our philosophy is that they should have the autonomy to choose the type of healthcare services they need and want. So if, for instance, if healthcare providers in the local Atlanta area will feature services on our site, current features that we have are podiatry services and dental services, for example. So if a healthcare provider in the local regional area says, you know what, on the QNova Health platform for $105, I'm going to offer a routine dental cleaning with x-rays, fluoride treatment, et cetera, we post that on our website, and we send that offer directly to the inbox of people that have requested dental services or needs for dental services. We are in private beta. So what we're doing today is we're allowing providers to post their featured service and we send it directly to their current or existing patients. Now, these patients generally fall into one or two categories. Either they're currently uninsured or they're self-pay cash patients, or maybe they're underinsured, or they have some sort of coverage, but maybe they don't have dental and vision care, for instance, or they're capped out at a certain level. And so a healthcare provider can identify those patients, present them a specific offer that they actually need, and have them purchase them in the privacy of their home. What this does is it allows for transparency in pricing for all their services. We try to make sure that all offers are attractive as cash-based transactions, that there's not a significant sticker shock, and then we really try to work with the healthcare providers to make sure that these services are not only make sense for their business, but they can be profitable in using our platform.
Now, why is it that there isn't transparency in healthcare costs?
Because there's a great disparity in them, and I think it would cause an outrage, truly, with the American public if they truly understood what's going on behind the scenes with pricing their services.
Now, we had a guest, I don't know if he said this on the air or off the air, I don't remember, but he said to get your appendix removed, the price range could be a few thousand dollars to like $100,000.
That's correct.
Is that you've heard of stories like that?
Oh, absolutely.
Now, how is that possible?
It's the health system that you're using. So if I can use a local example, if I go to Grady Health Center and I emergently am admitted for an appendectomy, which is an emergency procedure, that procedure might cost $2,000, mm-hmm. for example. If I go to Emory, and this is just an example. I don't know what Emory's price is for this right. appendectomy, but if I go to a private institution, let me put it that way, that might cost me $100,000. Now, what's interesting about that is the physician, the surgeon that's performing the procedure may have privileges at the private hospital and the state hospital.
So it might be the same
surgeon.
So it's the
same surgeon, the same procedure, the same protocol because, you know, across the United States, appendectomy removal, you know, the removal of the appendix is standardized.
Right.
The stitches are standardized.
So
everything.
We've got a way of doing that then. That's right.
And because no one talks about it and really there's no transparency in what it does cost, you're just faced with a huge bill or your insurance provider is faced with an enormous bill that it's really not talked about. Today, only Medicare, Medicaid type of billing is, I would say, nationally available. Anyone can look it up. When it comes to private insurance and what they charge, reimburse, and pay for procedures, it's a secret. And I think there's a reason why, because we'd just be outraged.
Well, it's interesting that you say that. I had some tests done about a year ago and turned out that my insurer didn't cover them. But the provider billed my insurer, and I saw that the provider billed my insurer half of what they wanted me to pay.
Exactly. And that's another thing. There is a market for cash-based services, but it's one-on-one. It's private. So you'll only know what that is when you confront a healthcare provider in person and say, hey, I don't have insurance. What is the cash price? And miraculously, it's about 50-70% less than that they would have billed you.
Now, I remember when LASIK surgery became on the market, and it was thousands of dollars.
It was about $10,000.
Right. And then it was
90s.
Like, and they were advertising, and it was, you know, it was out there, and they were really marketing it a lot. And then all of a sudden, now, several years later, it's hundreds of dollars.
Right. Well, I think there's a different issue. I remember when I was in medical school, they were doing the first LASIK procedures. And I do think that when you're starting out and the technology is new and you're training healthcare providers to provide it, instrumentation, you do have a higher cost.
Right. My point isn't that there's a higher cost at the beginning. My point is that now I'm aware that the cost is much less today.
Right.
You know, I'm sure appendectomies, there was a higher cost when they were learning how to do it. But to have a disparity between, you know, a couple thousand dollars and $100,000 for a procedure that everybody
and
knows how to do pretty well.
It might be a block away in location. Yes.
That's hard for me to kind of swallow.
It's sort of a what can you afford to pay model of pricing.
Right. Because, of course, you'd rather get something than nothing. And then there's also that price. So there's a – it's kind of what the market will bear kind of phenomenon going on.
But if
on.
You don't tell us what the price is, we don't know what we'll bear.
Right. And if you mortgage your house and or put a second mortgage on or borrow from friends to pay your bill, great. They've recovered their bill,
right.
Even though it was outrageous.
I think the other thing that's different about medical services, though, is, you know, going back to your MBA, the old idea of price inelasticity of demand.
Right.
You're not going to bargain when a doctor right. says you've got cancer, let's go ahead and treat it.
Or exactly. If there's, you know, you have the paddles over my chest and they're asking you how much do you want this to cost. You know, I'm not going to start
right.
negotiating at that point, right?
Right, right. So what we're all getting around to is as the patient, as the individual, you're disempowered in our healthcare system. And what we do here at Canova is empower with knowledge and with transparency in pricing and with fairness. Mm-hmm. And we really work with every healthcare provider to say, if you're going to participate, bear in mind that this is a cash industry. We're really trying to provide fair, affordable outpatient care services for everyone, where it's not a black box anymore. There's a healthcare company in New York that has raised millions of venture capital money by simply shining light on this issue and helping consumers to be, I would say, informed consumers in choosing how much their healthcare costs.
I can understand why that would be extremely attractive to consumers. What's the pitch, though, to these
healthcare
providers that have all the leverage at this
point?
But
who wants it to not be transparent? The insurance companies?
I believe so, because they have built a whole industry on this secrecy, and they haven't released their records. And there are billions and billions and billions of records of transactions for healthcare prices. And because they're so greatly disparate, I think that would raise red flags. I am not an internal person of a private insurance company, but I do know that the information has only recently become available in 2011, 2012 to only research institutions or individuals that are doing research on health policy. So you have to apply to be able to have any access to private health insurance payer data.
Was that part of the Affordable Care Act that forced that?
I don't know if it is a part of it as far as the government enforcing it, but it's only available for research institutions, and you must apply. And I believe they've allowed 25 or 26 permissions to have access to the data for analysis, not to make a private company that works
right.
against them.
Right.
So now, in your model, you're about transparency. You're about kind of giving people easy access to this medical care. How did you come up with this? Like, what was your kind of that aha moment where you felt like, hey, there's a real need in the marketplace for this?
Well, I think if you're alive today in the United States, you know there's something wrong, or many
right.
things wrong with the healthcare system. And I think the question is, how do you fix it?
Mm-hmm.
And I've learned, you know, just being on the healthcare circuit, a number of siloed solutions to different parts of the healthcare system, but nothing that really is overarching and that can impact the nation. And so I was actually co-teaching at a physician entrepreneur conference in January of 2011 when a dentist talked about putting a Groupon offer on.
A Groupon, that's the daily deal.
The daily deal for dental services.
Uh-huh.
And he highlighted some issues that are true to all dental practices, especially his, which was a cosmetic dental practice,
right.
where it's a cash-based business
sure.
often. It's off people, even if they have coverage, it's very limited, about $1,000 a year that's allocated to dental services that usually won't capture a cosmetic-type service in the first place. And when times are hard, people don't go to the dentist.
Sure.
And so he expressed how he, you know, wanted to recapture his patients and or capture new patients and get some revenue in the meantime, and talked about putting on an offer. And so I thought about that, and I learned a little bit about Groupon, their business model. This was before they went public, so it wasn't completely transparent. But just, having some business acumen to understand what they were doing, it wasn't the right business model for the healthcare industry. Yes, you can use e-commerce and you can use tools that are relevant and that work in the retail space, but it has to be tailored specifically for the healthcare provider and that very sensitive relationship between the healthcare provider and the subscriber, the buyer, the consumer,
right.
the patient. And that's when I went about creating Qenova Health. It's been a couple of years and really an iterative process of trying to make this work in the industry, being very gentle about how we launch into the market to make sure that we have it right. You know, this is too important to screw up.
Exactly.
And going back to the providers, large healthcare system, how do they view you?
So this is the incentive. This is what the sell is to the provider. Firstly, we can pay them upfront and in cash for the services they feature on our service within 5 business days. So there's no time delay in compensation. A dollar today is worth much more than a dollar in 3 months.
Because in the insurance world, they don't get compensated as quickly as they perform the services. Sometimes it's, what, 30, 60, 90,
exactly.
Sometimes even longer.
While they're negotiating a claim.
A claim, right.
And so, and you'll often see that as the consumer, where you'll say, this is not a bill. This is
right.
what we charge. And then a month later, maybe 2 months later, you get something. Oh, you really owe $53.32. And that's another part of the problem. You know, so we've talked about the time delay. But then there's a collection. So now that the health insurance company has reimbursed a certain portion, now that healthcare provider has to bill me or potentially collect for me for the balance. It is statistically understood that any collections after 90 days go uncollected in our industry, in the healthcare industry. That's probably true for others. But,
sure. And don't the medical community have just a whole bunch of infrastructure and staff just on dealing with all the...
And that's another thing. That's their administrative cost.
Right.
So statistically, and this is a federal statistic for outpatient care in the United States, every one healthcare provider, whether that be a dentist, a gynecologist, whomever, one healthcare provider requires 2.5 administrators to handle their claims. And so that's significant overhead in employers and time delays in compensation and negotiating claims, billing patients, mm-hmm. or having third-party collections. So our value proposition is that with Canuva Health, you get your money up front and in cash within 5 business days. There's no delays in compensation. There's no negotiating with us. We pay you a straight reimbursement mm-hmm. based on what you charge on our site. The patients, they're at the point of service. There's no cash transaction, insurance transaction. It's very clean. They have a list of their patients in advance of seeing them. They're paid in advance. So they begin seeing patients, their cash self-pay patients that are prepaid.
Right.
So we really think that it takes the hassle that they were reduced significantly in their administrative costs for these patients. There are no third-party collections and their cash is up front. What we're moving to do is be commiserate with the reimbursements that they get. So in the U.S. healthcare system, the federal government is mandated to be the lowest cost provider. So if you charge $100 for a service, Medicare may reimburse you $20 or $18 for that service. So as a third, you know, so as Aetna, WellPoint, as Canova Health, we cannot say, oh, we'll reimburse you $15.
Right,
you know?
Right.
Why would they priority even go for that?
Right.
So that's kind of like the low ball. Like as long as you reimburse above that, they're not going to get audited by the federal
sure.
government.
And those rates are available to you, so you know what the floor is.
And the providers know that. You know, they'll say, hey, when I bill for $45, I get $13 back, you know, and they'll know their reimbursement structure for Medicare, Medicaid patients. You often see signs in their windows that says, we just can't afford it, no Medicare patients.
Right.
And it's not because they're mean, callous, awful people, but they can't afford 20 cents on the dollar for their services. And so that is why that happens when you hear about that. Now, the private insurers may reimburse 50%, may reimburse 80%, depending on the service, but they'll have what's covered and what's not covered. That's also true with the government. And so a healthcare provider may recommend a service, but they tell their patient, you know, your insurance doesn't cover this. And so they've got to go through the billing and the collections and mm-hmm. the negotiation of what's a cash price. Come to that appointment. And so there are missed appointments and gaps in schedules because of this issue. And so we try to cover these issues. So we start out as an e-commerce platform and you think, oh, daily deal. But really, Canova Health is positioned as a payer, a cash payer for healthcare providers with the value proposition that we just discussed about the payments.
Now, a lot of companies use the daily deals as kind of a way to help their cash flow. Like it's almost a loan to their company because they're getting paid up front for services that'll happen down the road. Mm-hmm. So are the medical profession kind of seeing it in the same manner?
Yes and no. So a lot of the daily deal model is stemmed at getting new patient or new customers, and they may only come once.
Right.
And the proprietor may go insolvent on these deals. Because it's often mandated that they discount 50% or something like that. So we do not do that.
So you don't
we
make
fall
them
away
go
from that model.
Buy
we don't
one, go
have
one free or 50%.
What we do is we try to establish a fair market value for outpatient care services. It doesn't have to be 50% of what they would charge
But it can change market by market, right? Where like a fair market value in Atlanta might be different than Massachusetts.
It is different.
Right.
It is different. So, again, it's by region as well. Mm-hmm. So we look for – when we're looking at our current base rate now, the Atlanta-based providers, we're looking for the Atlanta-based health outpatient care prices.
Right.
When we go to Manhattan, very different.
I'm sure.
A real example, I had a chiropractor for Cunova Health that said, I can do an adjustment for $45. I have my network in New York that says they do that for $350.
Right.
And so – very different market.
But as a consumer, could you see that and go, you know what, maybe I'll drive to this other state and get it done for $45
and have a nice little vacation.
Right. You know, I'm going to visit some family down there and get this.
You just highlighted yet another benefit of Cunova Health is our platform is
portable.
Because
that's the beauty of transparency.
Yeah.
I mean, now you can tell. Like when you're in that marketplace and your doctor says, go to this person, you just go to that person. You're not like shopping.
Push medical tourism within the states.
Exactly. In a certain way, meaning that each state would have their own healthcare providers and their own promotions on our site and presumably their own, you know, patient base. Mm-hmm. What we do, and one of the benefits that we had put toward our consumer side, our B2C side, that, you know, is that for the first time in history, your healthcare will not only be transparent and affordable, but it'll be portable. So you're no longer confined, if you're paying cash,
right,
to a network or having a pre-authorization or to a certain healthcare provider. If I am having a business trip in San Francisco or San Jose and I need to see an urgent care provider, in the very near future, you can go to Cunova Health San Jose,
right,
look for an urgent care without calling your insurance company, without having a big bill in the mail when you get back home and not feeling like you've been taken.
Now,
right.
Now you mentioned your insurance company. Let's say I've got good insurance. In what instances would Cunova be useful to me?
So it would be useful when you're out of your network, as we just described, but it'll also be useful for what's not covered. So you might have the Cadillac of health plans, but the dermatologist on the cover of Time magazine isn't in your network, and you say, I want to see that person. Now, should that person put an offer on, you have that opportunity, and just doing it on your own, you might be able to try something like hypnotic weight loss, something that just would not traditionally be covered, acupuncture. When services come on and off of your insurance plan and you still want to have them or need them, you can. If you want to see an alternative type of specialist, you can do that. It's definitely for what occurs outside of your health plan, and there's always a gap or there's always a cap where you might find, even if it's logistical, where it's just, do I have to call in the middle of the night and get permission because I've got food poisoning, or do I just do it?
Right.
You know, and I just get the care, you know, that I need. And so it's just really autonomy and saying, I've got to, and, you know, this brings to another point about high deductible plans. Most employees, by a statistic by the Kaiser Foundation, in June of this year, was that 70% of all employees from all employers in the United States that have sponsored health plans will be high deductible plans. The health exchange are all high deductible plans. The deductibles just vary based on income. Mm. So they're not different than what we're starting to see. And this trend is quite new. In 2009, 2008, a high deductible employee benefit plan was the plan of last resort. Now it is maybe the only plan that you have an option of as an employee.
And one thing I wasn't aware of, I just want to go back and clarify. The plans that are being launched on the new health exchange, assuming the Affordable Care Act continues, are all high deductible plans?
That's correct.
Huh.
They're all, but they're based on a sliding scale. So if I earn $80,000 a year or $100,000 a year, I might have an $8,000 deductible. If I earn $24,000 a year, I might have a $1,200 deductible versus in the past or currently without the exchange, that as soon as I go to purchase private insurance, they say, well, what can you afford? It looks like you can only pay $900 a month in your premium, so you get a $5,000 deductible despite my income. And so many people say, I can't afford insurance, and the deductible is just so high. So people not only that are currently uninsured or underinsured, but people that are paying cash out of pocket toward high deductible plans may also see our platform as advantageous. Now, what we're working to do is to actually partner with large insurance carriers. So when a person that has, let's just use Aetna as an example, health insurance, uses Qnova Health for a cash-based service that they think is affordable or better than they would get if they gave their insurance card, that cash transaction can be counted toward that deductible at the end of the day. I've proposed this to 3 health plans.
How's the response?
Yeah. How's that going? Exactly. Well, they haven't shut the door on me, but I do think developing those types of relationships just in business in general, despite this being a disruptive type of technology, has a long procurement cycle. That is just we really are going to have to show our stuff and show that the demand in the community from our healthcare providers, from our subscribers, that this is the right way to go. And that, you know, I hope at the end of the day, they'll feel like, you know, we're all trying to do the same thing. We're all trying to make sure that everybody has the healthcare they need. In an affordable way, have access to care. Everybody has that in their mission, their mantra, but what are we really doing about it? And I think Qnova Health is an innovative way to tackle a lot of these issues that plague us, I think that bring us down as a nation. If you really think the health or the stature of a nation is how it treats its people and how it cares for its people, I think we're 71st in the world or something like that, because our health system is so, I would say, unfair and inaccessible to so many. And so this is, you know, Qnova Health, I would consider it the great equalizer, where we're trying to work with the existing structures in the health system that are working. Health insurance is very good for catastrophic care. We don't. Qnova Health at this time does not go to the inpatient setting or the hospital setting. It helps where the government cannot. It helps where private insurance will not. And just think of it as a third leg of the stool in the payer system for providers. You can have a reimbursement or a government payer, a private insurance payer, or a cash payer. And we're just positioned to be that cash payer, really to balance out our health system and have something that's for everyone.
And there's always going to be a place in that, no matter which way the healthcare system kind of evolves into, right?
Whether Obamacare, you know, there are some wonderful things about it, especially the preventative care, which I think is essential to have a no deductible or no copay. Just you get that, you know, you get to have that by having insurance. I think that's, you know, outstanding. However, it doesn't, you know, one thing that's not addressed is affordability with the other healthcare that you have to buy. There's no dental care or vision care provisions in the Obamacare plan that I'm aware of. You know, there are about 19 million young people that are too wealthy, if you will, for Medicaid and are too poor for health insurance, and they suffer from dental caries is the number one morbidity, just having poor dental care. Mm-hmm. And they just can't afford to get a rotten tooth extracted or a filling or whatnot. And that plagues 19 million young people, mm-hmm. children,
well, there's always going
to
be gaps
anybody.
No matter what system there is. So,
right.
And companies like yours are trying to fill
the gaps.
Exactly.
And what markets are you in right now?
Right now we're in the Atlanta market. We're just beginning. So it's November 2nd. November 1st was our first beginning to offer services in Atlanta. We're queuing up healthcare providers in our pipeline.
So what do you need more of?
Right, I would say awareness. Mm-hmm. We need to be able to. Right now, I am on the ground visiting healthcare provider offices because many people say, I've never heard of this, or what is this, or wow. Their ears perk up as soon as I mention this is for the healthcare provider that sees an uninsured or cash pay patient, because right. everyone has that cohort in their patient mix and how to manage that. Mm. And so for the healthcare provider, we're building tools. We have in our pipeline of our software development tools to help manage that self-pay patient load. For into perpetuity, not just for one deal or one time, but into perpetuity, because the cash pay kind of cohort will continue to exist and is ever growing.
And right. they capture that information on the folks that come through the doors.
Exactly. Well, you know who's paying cash, and you see a lot of signs now that says payment, you know, at the time of service. You see that a lot now when you mm-hmm. walk into a dental office or any provider office, Visa, MasterCard. And we're thinking, well, what if you don't have what if you don't have that? What
right.
if you can't afford that? Then you're restricted from walking in and having the service. And so we try to, our platform we really try to capture, you know, what can we do to help this situation. I visit many offices that are empty. There are no patients in there. I'm the only person in the waiting room when I'm visiting these providers to tell them about this healthcare, this option.
So that's
for their
good
patients.
Timing for you to visit during those times.
Well, I think it's just, yeah, exactly. But it's also still the recession. And you're, I think a barometer of how bad the health system is, and I won't quote a vice president of a care system, but I will tell you that even their pediatric visits are down by 30%. And when you think about that, many of us have children. Even if you don't, you can think to yourself, I might forgo care for myself. But if my child, you know, I would, heaven and earth, I'd get my child
right,
into
sure.
the provider if something is wrong. And when your visits are down by a third in the recession for even babies and children,
something's
is wrong.
Right. Yeah,
right.
And so we're looking to have pediatric visits, well, child, you know, because there are still people that are maybe too wealthy for Medicaid, but too poor for health insurance that fit into this category, and they still need health care.
Right, right.
People that have lost their jobs. I've written to my health care providers recently, and I said, listen, the patients that have been hurt in the recession financially still need health care. And I said, listen, why don't you open your practice to your self-pay cohort in a way that's accessible, transparent to them, affordable to them, and watch your practice flourish.
Mm-hmm.
You won't have so many empty spaces in healthcare provider offices because of this recession or the next. It's going to come again.
Well, is your challenge more on the provider side or is your challenge more on the patient side at this point?
I think it's both because it's awareness.
Right.
So we do a lot of social media focused, I would say, campaigning to the consumer network.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we have a promotion sign up online. You have to be pretty active on Facebook or Twitter and things like that. But still, that doesn't reach everyone. Everyone
right.
isn't into that, and we don't have the marketing dollars to do national campaigns. And hey, this is where we are. But we're looking to look at college age students going on campuses, doing on the grounds kind of campaigns. We want to start here at Georgia Tech.
Mm-hmm.
I've been in the negotiations with the ATDC to really get a foothold into the Georgia Tech market as our first college campus kind of model for reaching out to that group, that cohort of young people that are often underinsured,
mm-hmm.
To look into local areas. We have subscribers from 19 states, so it's not that people don't need this across the country. I'd love to service all of them today. We just need to build up our company and grow up as a company to do that.
Now, and in the part of growing up, where are you at? Now, I know that you just opened beta, right?
Or yes.
You have an open beta for people to sign up with their email.
Exactly.
And also, if any medical providers are interested in this service, they can, I'm sure,
exactly.
jump on board as well. So have you self-funded this? Did you get help with venture capital or private investors?
So at this point, we're almost 2 years old. We'll be 2 years old in early February. And we're all self-funded.
Wow.
Well, with a little bit of help from friends, family type thing. So we're still at the very early stages of funding.
Are you looking for investors?
We are. But, what's going to be of interest to me as the founder of the company, and I think of interest to the consumers in the long run, is to make sure that we're privately held as long as possible,
mm-hmm.
and that there's autonomy in decision-making on how to best provide care. We're really focused on the social impact of providing healthcare for everyone, not necessarily the bottom line. We have to make money to be able to grow as a company and provide services, but that's not the main position that mm-hmm. we're taking. It's really to provide a care and access platform for all of Americans, anyone that visits the country, anyone, and actually to be the model for the globe, not for the nation, first for the nation, but then for the globe.
And have you gotten any recognition in the marketplace for this effort?
Oh, sure. I think this is my fourth interview about Qnova Health. We were formerly Doc Ponds, and so a lot of until about a month and a half ago, we had a rebranding. But we were Doc Ponds, Inc. With that, under that brand, we were invited to Paris, France to present this as one of the 9 most innovative health companies in the world, really
wow.
trying to change the healthcare space. We were invited to pitch at Women 2.0 in Silicon Valley this past February, where we were awarded the prize for company most likely to change the world, of an audience of over 1,000 people that really gave us a standing ovation for this type of company. We're the only type of company there, you know, like this. Pitch in San Francisco, same thing, overall, you know, winner for this type of concept and really making an impact. I've pitched in New York, New Jersey.
So this must be exciting. Everywhere you're going, a lot of positive feedback.
A lot of positive reception.
And I'm sure the consumers are all over this.
Are waiting, yeah.
So this is an exciting time.
Yes.
So what do you got? What's ahead?
Again, rolling out in a concerted, you know, we're really trying to do this carefully.
Right.
And making sure that we're positioning very well. Get the appropriate partners in line with us, even though I understand these processes may take years, you know, to get different types of partners that help us fully implement Qunova Health. I have tons of advisors, so I'm getting lots of advice. We do want to put out a Qunova Health card, if you will, which would be a health savings card to allow people that maybe don't have credit to have a debit type card for saving for their health through their employer or on their own, that they can use on our platform, of course, for their prescription drugs, for all of their, you know, HSA or health savings account qualifying medical products. We have about 10 years of a vision of rolling out in this company.
That's
already
exciting.
On paper. So we're in the very early stages, trying to get this baby up and walking.
You know. And start with Atlanta first and then move out from there.
Atlanta's our market. So trying to get exposure in this market, getting people to, you know, I visit healthcare providers every week, many days of every week, just sitting down and talking about this process and encouraging them to consider it.
Right.
Just to consider it.
They don't make you buy them lunch like all of the pharmaceuticals.
I bought a few lunches, but for the most part, I haven't been kicked out of an office yet. I think it's a welcomed kind of opportunity, and it's just how, you know, it's so new, they just have many, many questions.
Sure. Now, if somebody wanted to learn more, is there a website up and running?
We do. We have a beta site up. It's at www.qnovahealth.com. That's QNOVAHEALTH.com.
And they can be one of those beta people on that site?
They can register early, exactly, and begin offering services today if that's what they would like to do to attract their, you know, cash pay patients back into the office.
Good stuff. Well, thank you so much, Susan Nicholas, the CEO of Qunova Health. And that can be found at QunovaHealth.com. And then you mentioned a Facebook page.
If you search for
Qunova Health, I'm sure you'll
Qunova
find
Health
it.
Facebook, exactly. Facebook/ Qunova Health.
Right.
We also have a Twitter feed at Qunova CEO. And we have a promotion page for anyone that wants to register, an individual family that wants to register with us before December 31st in our beta community. They will receive $5 off their first QPass. So we sell access passes to healthcare. We call them QPasses. Mm-hmm. And anyone registering with us within our promotion period will receive a $5 off promo code.
And that's at QunovaHealth.com.
At QunovaPromo.com.
QunovaPromo.com.
That's correct.
Good stuff. Well, thank you so much, Micah. Great job.
Thanks very much, Lee.
All right. Well, this wraps up another episode of Disruptive Business. Thanks again to our sponsor, Minerva Planning Group, the good folks who provide their clients with financial peace of mind. Check them out online at MinervaPlanningGroup.com. See you all next week.
Thank you.